Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. I'm awfully glad you joined me today because we have a great hour coming up. Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina is going to be with me the whole hour. We're going to be taking questions today about relationships. And I think we've got a central theme for today, which is we're going to talk about what we are for versus what we are against when discussing difficult matters. Because everybody's got conflicts, and I don't know how well we do conflict resolution. Maybe we're just not that good at it. Maybe we've spent too much time talking about what we're against and trying to win an argument. And that doesn't work. So Todd is going to shine some light on that, and we're going to take calls. We're going to help you navigate your way through a situation you're in. You've got something that's not working, or you're stuck. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484 is the number if you want to call. You can also send me a text question, although I sometimes prefer you call and speak if we have to go back and forth. Or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, with your question, and I'll ask Todd, and we'll get the best advice we can get in this available price range. So it is 6 minutes after the hour. We will take a little break, and we come back. Todd Mullican in studio.
As a student at University of Northwestern, I'm being prepared to be a God-honoring leader in my home, church, workplace, and world. My name is Abby, and I'm a junior nonprofit leadership major at University of Northwestern. College can be expensive, but through the Northwestern Scholarship Fund, I receive valuable scholarships that help me continue my education. Would you consider making a donation to the Northwestern Scholarship Fund? You can help students like me by visiting unwsp.edu/give.
Every Monday, your inbox fills with emails from your kids' school, reminders about upcoming meetings, coupons for your favorite store. At Faith Radio, we hope to provide a steady voice that roots you in truth and equips you to abide in Christ through the new weekly prayer devotional email. Together, we're seeking to build a firm foundation and instill rhythms that bring us closer to God, practices to reestablish our feet. Sign up to receive the free weekly prayer devotional email today at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Todd Mullican's in the studio with me. Todd is a counselor and a teacher, and he does therapy and counseling and all kinds of good stuff. We're going to talk today about relationships. He is also in studio with his wife, who they had a big hot date after the show. So I think it's appropriate if I first find out how you two met. Tell me how the love story began.
Oh, wow. Laura just...
I know. Her head just sank into her arms.
Well, it was a blind date, Bill.
Okay.
And so I was working as a youth worker at a church in Edina. And one of the women there knew me, and I had been working with their family and her daughter and son. And that same woman worked with Laura at a job, insurance stuff, right, sweetie? Yeah. And so she was pitching each of us to each other kind of thing. And she said to me, you know, you got to meet this woman. She's amazing. She's a great singer. She loves Jesus. She leads worship. And then she was telling Laura, because I was a drummer professionally for a long time. And she said, oh, this is a great drummer. He loves God. Nice guy. And I don't think Laura was that impressed, because drummers are kind of weird, you know.
Not only weird, but I mean, Laura, I'm thinking you're going to, you know, be broke your whole life. You're a drummer.
You know, there is that, yes.
Yeah. He doesn't have the Ringo hair or nothing. So.
And it got a little bit worse. I lost her number.
Oh, good one, Todd.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
There you go.
So then about...
You're a relationship counselor. This is good.
Yeah, this is good. Why are you going to the field? Because you work through your own issues, right?
Exactly.
Just kidding. So then I ended up finding the number, calling her, and we're going to go out to eat, Bill, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, I wore it, you know, this is 100 years ago. I had a tweed coat on and slacks, casual day. Yeah. I thought it was okay, but I got to the door. My wife, or, you know, Laura was wearing something that was, you know, fine. But I think she was a little put off that I, you know, she looked in the door, you know, the little thing. Yeah. She looked in the hole there, and I said, who is this guy? You know, I thought it was a used car salesman or a door-to-door person. You know? So she thought I was a little overdressed. And then I get really extroverted and impulsive. So she opens the door, and we greet each other. I said, yeah, just show me the place. So I just kind of walk in, and it wasn't a good first impression.
Yeah.
But I by the end of the first date, I thought, God, I really want to keep seeing her. And
yeah.
It was a woman I wanted to marry.
Nice. Where did you have a coupon for dinner that
day? I think did we go to Bunny's in St. Louis Park?
Bunny's.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Very impressive. But I prayed over the meal, and that got her going.
You did.
For a little bit. I prayed over the meal.
Uh-huh. And how many years have you been married now?
We've been married, it was 88, so 31.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And three grown children, three daughters?
29, 27, 25.
Yeah?
Yes.
Any grandkids yet?
No. Two of the three are married, and I think they're going to wait a while. What do you think, hon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Probably a few years yet.
I appreciate the story. I think it's a good time to talk about improving how we do conflict resolution. I think first of the year, we're always trying to figure out how to do things better.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was thinking about this idea of what we are for versus what we are against when discussing difficult matters, I thought that's a great topic. I want to talk more about that.
Thanks. Yeah, that's something I just find myself saying quite a bit with couples and families is trying to address things from what we're for. Because we know at the end of the day we still are for each other in Christ, even though we're having a disagreement about money, about intimacy, about parenting, about, you know, where we're going together in our life, about vocations, you know, whatever we're struggling with, I think it's still good to know that we weren't waking up that day saying, you know, I really look forward to hurting my spouse today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still, in our intention in Christ typically is to want to get things better and go in the right direction. So by approaching that, by knowing we're still for each other, I think that helps us have a better lens under stress.
Yeah.
And then when we're approaching conflicts, the thing I try to talk about, Bill, is this phrase called let each other in versus take things out on each other. So what I mean by that is if I'm on my way home from work and it's been a hard day, instead of me coming home and unintentionally taking something out on Laura by withdrawing from her or by being real quick and snappy, I'm letting her in first to say, hey, you know, it's been tough today, and how are you doing? And so I'm letting her in versus taking something out on her, or vice versa. She's coming home from work and has had difficulties. We get to let each other in first, whereas most of the time we don't do that.
It's a great way to frame that, and I know that there are listeners right now that are just, their ears have really perked up, because you've described something that is productive versus counterproductive. I mean, letting you in, if you guys come to the understanding that we're going to let each other in, then you're just not showing up and ranting and venting. Although venting and ranting is important from time to time, isn't it?
Surely, yeah. We've got to get feelings off our chest, and then we get to validate what the other person is experiencing. So the other phrase I use quite a bit is listen to understand versus listen to react or listen to respond. So when Laura's sharing some feelings, instead of me kind of defending real quick about, well, no, this meant that, or, you know, kind of guiding the conversation, I'm just trying to let the feelings land and then, you know, validating what she's experiencing and vice versa.
Yeah, now, Todd, I know there must be couples that come into your office that are having difficulty with their relationship and they're in conflict. And the truth is they're not for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So trust has been broken, Bill, either in significant, you know, severe ways of adultery, addiction, abuse, you know, so they're in recovery. So certainly recovery work is going to be needed to be done first by rebuilding trust slowly but surely, one day at a time, but approaching it from a place of proactively, slowly coming towards each other versus what have you done for me lately. So we're still trying to slowly move towards each other. And then we have couples that are haven't gone through something traumatic, but they've slowly been in this pattern of, you know, avoiding conflict or needing to be right in conflict. And usually you find one edge or the other there.
Yeah, we were just talking about rebuilding in a previous interview today with O.S. Hawkins. And Todd, as I'm thinking about this, when you say that trust has to be rebuilt, What about when your anxiety is running so high, I don't have time for this this time to be rebuilding this trust because my anxiety is too high.
Yeah.
And they're owning that, going, I don't know if I can wait. I don't know if I can be patient.
Mm.
Because this thing is fizzling and I can't be in this relationship.
Sure. And, of course, each one of those situations is different. But I would still say if they're being vulnerable enough to say, I think I'm just scared, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do, I'm still then letting my spouse in versus withdrawing from them or just, you know, overreacting all the time. So the thought there is, I'm scared. I'm in the house of fear. Mm-hmm. I'm anxious. I'm excessively worried. I'm in trauma. So, you know, in those severe cases, it is important for the person who's been through the trauma to at least let the person in about what they're experiencing and try to slowly create a safe place, especially if the person they're married to was the one that caused the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So then the person who did cause the trauma needs to be, as the betrayer, the person who was betraying, needs to be really patient and consistent in validating what their partner is experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Let's have this discussion with Todd Mullican about some of the fears you're struggling with. I'd love to hear from you. You can send me a text message at 877-933-2484, or you can call at 877-933-2484, or email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We can talk about these fears because we are not going to be doing well in our conflict resolution if we're living in fear. So let's deal with that today as best we can. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's 17 minutes after the hour. Todd Mullican is my in-guest studio. We are talking about relationships. He is a counselor and a teacher. And if you have any question about a relationship or a fear that you're having, we'd love to hear about it. We're talking today about when in conflict resolution, it's important to be always reminding each other what we are for versus what we are against. So, Todd, if you are in a relationship and this premise has never existed, how do you build it? How do you start to get to the point where you can establish this, we're for this together?
Hmm.
I don't know if I asked that well. I think Rebecca asked it better.
No, that's...
You know, Rebecca asked it way better.
Well, oh, thank you, Bill.
Well, you did. It's your question.
Well, were you saying like they used to have it, then they didn't, or they just weren't aware they didn't have it? Or?
I guess it could apply in either situation. But yeah. If somebody's trust has been broken, and I think we can all relate to that, whether
surely.
It's by you or by someone in the past,
yeah.
Then starting out with the assumption that, okay, we're giving each other the benefit of the doubt because we are on the same team, maybe that foundation isn't necessarily there. Mm. So how do we get on that same page?
Yeah, so great. Let's say great examples, Rebecca. Thank you. So somebody comes in who has been in trauma before the marriage, right? They grew up in a traumatic situation or they had a relationship before that was traumatic. They're triggered then by their spouse's silence, or they're triggered by their spouse's tone. So they come in with that fear, Bill, and they're scared. And what a fear means is we're frightened, we're scared. So you know, it's going to be really important that the spouse there doesn't try to fix, manage, parent that person and make them better, but rather to listen to understand. So then what happens slowly is the person who has been through trauma is taking the risk to be vulnerable enough to say, I just don't trust. I'm scared. I don't, you know, when you said that, I just got triggered and I don't trust you yet. So instead of that person defending themselves and saying, well, why don't you trust me? Or, you know, I've done these things for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to defend themselves, that is completely invalidating and rebuild and making the trust issue worse. So if I have empathy for my spouse who's been through that past stuff, then hopefully my goal is, especially if I'm a guy, you know, I just want to fix it. I want to manage it. I want to protect them and I want to just get them through it. Versus each time I let the feelings just land and try to understand them, then that's slowly creating a new paradigm for that person who's been through betrayal. And then that slowly washes away their past trauma. Not overnight, but that's the only thing I've seen work is slow process of that went well. And now let's, and then when I work with that couple on Rebecca and Bill is, now I'd like you to be more defined by the last three interactions versus some of the previous ones that were so dysfunctional. We get to be more defined now by this, these ingredients here that worked. And now we get to start feeling safe slowly, not overnight. And then guess what happens? They have three of those good ones, and then they have a tough one again. And then they feel like they're back at square one, and I would invite them to say, I'd rather have you take those four than the previous 400 you've had.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slow process of finding what works as a couple, but a lot of it is validating the emotions that the person who's scared is feeling. So they realize they can be scared, but now they're creating, now they have a safe place to be scared, to be a little more vulnerable. And that's where I've found, you know, the Holy Spirit can kind of do the work slowly about bringing truth into this new arena. But mm-hmm. none of that is easy. So I hope it doesn't come off like I'm saying it's easy, but it's a slow process. But it's really important for the receiver of that to just give space and time for their spouse to heal and to be somebody that is safe mm-hmm. that way.
Todd, if you've had physical, emotional, sexual trauma brought into your body, is that something that could live with you the rest of your life? And then what about we're overcomers in Christ and all this? So
yeah.
Maybe you can bring those two thoughts together.
Sure. So, you know, the classic symptom clusters of PTSD include arousal symptoms. We call it hyperarousal. So when they are triggered by something, so let's say they've been through, you know, a verbal abuse that was traumatic, a chronic alcoholic parent that was verbally just harsh, chronic pattern of it. So now they're bringing that into their story as a big person in their adult life, and now they're bringing that in, and they're actually doing okay until they're in that house again, a new house, but they have that, and all of a sudden they're triggered. And so one of the symptoms is arousal. So from their big toe to the top of their head, they're having a physiological reaction that brings agitation, that brings rage, it brings overreaction, if you will. The other symptom cluster is avoidance. So sometimes they will deeply internalize, be numbed by it, deny it, repress it. And then the third and final symptom cluster, which is really, really hard, Bill, is that it's called negative alterations in your thinking and your mood. So the truth is when they're triggered, they're also really depressed. You know, they're re-experiencing all that pain again. So let's say they've gone to church and they have felt led in the worship and feel engaged and feel washed in the Spirit and feel great and feel excited. And then let's say, you know, they're doing well, but then something happens in the marriage dance that really triggers it again. It doesn't mean the washing didn't happen, in my opinion. It means that was a touch of what was beautiful and wonderful and what can happen. And also now this pain comes back, and they get to realize that their spouse is for them and is wanting to bring healing slowly. And that is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important as Christians that we, at least my belief is, it's a slow, steady process for people.
All right. I want to go back to this letting each other in idea, because I think this is really strong. It's really powerful. And if we learn how to let each other in, how do we do that well so it doesn't become one-sided, where I'm going to come home and you're going to talk to Laura and you're going to let her in on your day, and then after you're done letting her, you know, you're telling her all your day. You're exhausted. You don't want to hear about her day.
Right. Yeah, I got nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how do you do this and have balance and make sure that you're aware that, okay, I've spoken a little, now it's time to listen.
Yeah. So, and again, I think it's helpful to know, like, I know our style, I'm more extroverted and Laura's more introverted. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of good news, because if the guy is extroverted, then he doesn't mind talking, and the woman's more introverted, so
he doesn't mind listening.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So, you know, that's been helpful for us,
yeah.
You know. But no, I think it's real important to notice the uniqueness of each of our spouse. You know, what is their unique wiring in Jesus? And so I bring that in when I'm letting my spouse in. I know, so for Laura, I know she's uniquely introverted, so she'll internally process. So how am I doing giving her space and time to process that? She knows I'm extroverted, so once in a while I'm just going to be like, ooh, kind of a blurry guy, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to learn how to regulate and manage that. So I think couples, in the spirit of letting each other in, need to take into account we have different styles. That matters too. So in the spirit of letting each other in, what that means, Bill, is like, it doesn't mean it's just like we come home from work and we do that. It means, you know, we've had a difficult evening and then we fall asleep and then we on to the next day. If I'm hanging on and have kind of an emotional hangover from this and I'm going to my resentment bank that day and throwing some money in against my spouse without even knowing it, then what I need to be able to do is own the fact, oh, wait a minute, I'm not addressing this with my spouse. That's on me. I'm avoiding it, and I'm bringing to the resentment bank. That's not good. So I need to be accountable to just let my spouse in. Hey, I'm still struggling from our talk last night, and I'm just kind of sad today. How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm letting her in, even about something that is, something that's happened the last day or something. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's important for couples. It doesn't mean we're hyper-vigilant about it, Bill. It just means we get to do that. And I got to be accountable on my side of the street versus me taking that out on her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You know, men can't help it, but they're fixers. And we sometimes just want to step in and fix something. And so when do women want us to fix stuff? Do they want us to be a decision maker and be bold? And when are they bothered by us trying to fix something?
Well, I can't speak for all women, but I think in general it's energy draining when the guy starts to fix. So I would
on the relationship?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say to couples, don't give advice unless asked.
All right.
Okay. That's just my own belief about it, is I'm only going to give advice to my wife. And I'm a marriage counselor. That's not a good idea anymore. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, here comes the marriage counselor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, stop talking to
him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but no, I think it's real important to listen, to understand versus give advice. You know, because more often than not, in my experience, the woman wants to be able to express. Woman doesn't want to have to say, well, if I say it this way, then my spouse is going to overreact. Or if I say it that way, then he's just going to shut down anyway, so I'll just zip it. And then that is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important when the woman is expressing that the guy creates a place just to let it land
mm-hmm.
and not try to fix it or manage it or solve it.
Yeah, we are talking to Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. And if you want to learn more about Todd, you can go to toddmullican.com, MULIKEN.
Double L. That's okay.
I said double L, didn't I?
Maybe you did.
Double LIKEN.
I wasn't listening very well.
MULLIKEN.com. We're talking about what we are for versus what we are against when we're discussing difficult matters. So if you have a question, maybe it concerns a fear you're having in your conflict resolution or inability to do conflict resolution, call and talk to us about it. Todd will give you some good counsel. 877-933-2484. You can also text me at 877-933-2484 or bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. To the show, Todd Mullican's in studio. That's MULLIKEN.com, Todd Mullican. You want to go learn more about Todd? We're talking about conflict resolution, and always be reminded that you should talk about what you are for versus what you are against when discussing difficult matters. And let's talk about having clarifying conversations, Todd, because sometimes one discussion argument just lives on forever. It just keeps getting kicked down the road.
Yeah.
And it just festers and festers, and it just doesn't ever stop.
And oftentimes it's because somebody took something a different way than was intended. And so if somebody is, so let's say a spouse is leading out with something they're hurt by, and then the receiver of that actually felt attacked by it and didn't address that, but instead just kind of said, oh, okay, that's interesting, and then walks away from it. And they walk away feeling like they were attacked. And then, again, that avoider, Bill, is going to go to the resentment account bank mm-hmm. and throw a little money in there subconsciously
uh-huh.
and then create a little more distance. And those avoiders kind of, they avoid the mess versus address the mess. So a clarifying conversation there would be is, Gal, when you said it that way, it felt like you were attacking me, you know, and what were you trying to communicate there? And then ideally you have this agreement where the person who started the message said, oh, it wasn't my intention to, wasn't meaning to attack. I was just trying to clarify, you know, here's how I felt about this issue with our finances or, and I'm sorry, you know, this is what I meant to say. You know, so we're having a moment there where we're doing a brief makeover and a recalibration versus letting it sit and be gone and then having really different views of it. Now, it doesn't mean we're hyper-vigilant about that every single time. Again, it's something we get to do. So let each other in versus taking things out on each other builds a proactive way, I think, to preempt a lot of conflicts because I'm letting my spouse into what's going on in my mind about things versus taking it out on them either through overreaction or avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think, are vulnerable typically to one or the other, either top of anger mountain quick and have to be right or avoid everything and just want to be liked. So we want to avoid those patterns.
Yeah.
We want to get to learning together how to create a health, just like we do with our Lord. You know, we go to him with our joys, our sorrows, and everything. You know, so we have an attached relationship with the Father, right, where we feel safe to go there, or we feel angry to go there. Well, we get to have that as a couple, too, that we create that safe place to have great days and tough days. So I'm not trying to make it sound perfect or easy. I'm just saying we can create a place where that becomes our safest place.
Mm-hmm.
And then addressing the mess, address the mess. That's a good little slogan we have going here.
Yeah, we address the mess versus avoid the mess.
Uh-huh.
Now, the problem with that is the avoider will then be in my office the next week and say, Todd, that didn't go very well.
Of course it didn't.
That was a bad idea. Why did you tell me to do that? Okay, so let's just turn to John 4, John 5, John 6, John 7, John 8, and now watch Jesus address the mess.
Uh-huh.
Let's turn to, you know, Jesus, you know, having tough conversations with his disciples. Let's address, you know, Jesus addresses the mess. And he also provides grace, you know, to the lost, to the broken. So we get to do both. We get to address the mess, and we also get to have grace for the mess.
Mm-hmm.
But the older I get, and then Laura's helped me with this because she's more capable of addressing than I am. The older I get, the more I think when we avoid the mess, it's really unhealthy. So when I address the mess, I'm not even trying to, we don't even have to fix it. We just know we get to, whew, that was really hard, or, you know, we're still not on the same page with retirement stuff, but here's what I'm for with retirement. What are you for?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, well, here's what can happen. You know, we're in the house of fear. Here's what I can't do. Here's what you better not do. Well, what if, what if, what if?
Mm-hmm.
Versus what is? What are we both for with our intimate life, with our parenting, with our finances? What are we both for? And let's see if we can get to the 50-yard line by letting each other in versus taking things out on each other.
But those fears could be in deep tissues in your body.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have enough money to go to the movies when you were 8.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're being triggered by, what if we don't have enough money to buy toast?
And not that we need to have therapy with each other 24/7, but
you buy bread and make toast. But you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yeah, here's what I love the most about the counseling is when that 43-year-old says, oh, you know, because they're praying about, oh, you know what? This is because because at age 8 I was, and, you know, this is what's going on, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is so much different than taking something out on their spouse. So this is why I think we each look in our own mirror. We each pray about our own past, our own stories, and not like, you know, trying to figure out everything. But like even Laura and I, you know, when we've worked on conflict stuff, it's been much more about what patterns did I bring into the marriage that made me vulnerable to avoid? What patterns did she bring into the marriage that made her vulnerable to overaddress? Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And when she lets me in, we got a better chance of finding the 50 versus, I'm right, and, you know, I'll just pray for you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? This condescending kind of, I'm right, and you don't get it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what, you'll never understand me.
Ooh.
You know, those kinds of things. Those are statements that come from our own pain versus that's my stuff.
That's a big deal though, Todd. That does not say we'll never move closer to each other because you will never understand me.
Yes, and so the never and the always are hard statements, and sometimes we say them, and that's why what we get to do is own our side of the street. So the other thing I talk about is these four areas of conflict resolution, kind of big picture items, Bill. Speak without offending.
Mm-hmm.
listen without defending. Those are the first two volleys. Those are both hard.
Yeah, very hard.
But how do I lead out without offending? You know, how am I interactive? Which means, hey, you know, I'm really worried about our finances, and I'm really worried about that. How about you? How are you feeling? That's different than saying, you know, here's what you do wrong, and here's the 20 things you need to work on.
Yeah.
So I'm letting somebody in and being interactive and non-offensive as best as I can.
Uh-huh. Is it wise to set up a conversation with a loved one by saying, I want to address a mess, and it's my desire to what I'm about to say, I want to say it without being offensive.
Perfect.
And I'm going to pray that you can listen without feeling defensive.
Well,
we're not going to be good at this.
That one's a little bit like, I hope you get this, you know.
So maybe that's not.
First, that's just my own feeling about that. Yeah, the first part I was going like, oh my goodness, that's perfect.
Okay, I just shouldn't have said, you need to listen without being defensive.
No. I mean, you could try that.
Yeah.
Let me know how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not your test market.
That's right. That's right. So then the second part I think is harder, Bill. I don't know about you, but the second part, at least I know it's harder for me, is then listen without defending. So I'm going to try to speak but without offending. Now I get to listen without defending, and that keeps me in business, just kidding. But idea there is because we take things so personally, and we're all so fragile, of course, as in our humanity, but my goal is try to understand what my spouse is saying versus defend my action. So we just had this last week, didn't we? We're out at Barnes & Noble. We got a great new place, Barnes & Noble downstairs.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Great little restaurant.
Oh, it's great.
It's just beautiful. It's good stuff. We were talking about finances, and so Laura was just talking about some of her feelings about it. I just got defensive right away. Right away? And then I said, wait a minute, what am I doing? She goes, yeah, I got it. And then we clarified it. So I noticed I was getting defensive because I was feeling inadequate about something. So I took it out on her versus slow down. And now I'm trying to listen to just understand what she's saying. This ain't your show, Dad. This is your wife is leading out with something vulnerable and what she's afraid of or what she's concerned about. So how am I doing is slowing the engine down and trying to understand what she's saying. And then she'll bring her best self in Christ to that too. So those first two volleys I found in conflicts, Bill, are really helpful. I'm going to try to be non-offensive, and I'm going to try to be non-defensive.
Mm-hmm. So non-offensive.
And, so when I'm speaking.
Okay.
And non-defensive when I'm listening.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make
sense. I'm listening to understand.
Yes.
And I'm listening to validate, which doesn't mean I always agree. It doesn't mean, oh, you're right, let's move on to the next episode. No, I'm just, and it doesn't mean, you know, we're each other's therapists. It just means we're each other's safe place to say, that sounds hard, or I hear what you're saying, or we're just listening.
Mm-hmm.
But I got eye contact, I'm all in, I'm not looking at my phone, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there for each other. So that's the first two.
Okay.
The third one is sometimes, not regularly, one time out of 10, one time out of 20, agree to disagree. Okay, we're not always going to agree. And these are hard for last word Larrys or last word Lorraines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people who maybe never won a fight growing up now want to win every fight. Okay, they never won a fight with their parents, and now watch out, they're going to want to win every fight.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to learn how to just, you know, not try to be that last word, not try to win the fight, but try to understand. And then the person that just wants to acquiesce has to lean in more. But at the end of the day, we're not always going to agree. And once in a while, we need to be able to say, well, you know, I'm trying to understand your perspective on parenting, Laura. Or she says, yeah, I'm trying to understand your perspective on parenting, Todd. We don't see that same way. That that situation, we don't see the same way. Well, what's going to happen to the kids? Well, yeah, we're not going to say to the kids, hey, you know, we're always confused. We don't know what to do. But we're also not going to say, you know, I'm right and my, you know, and your mother or your father isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're figuring out our stuff here. We love you. We're for you.
Yeah. Have you ever thought in the middle of an argument that if you could stop it and just say, what are you hoping the outcome is?
Mm.
I mean, because obviously, I think half the time people would say, I don't know.
Yeah.
But all they know is they're embroiled in something.
Yes, fight or flight.
And they're
winning.
Going down to the, you know, they're going to fight to the last soldier on the field.
Yes.
And I think sometimes there's this offensive defensiveness is if you can not be defensive, you can, I think you can have such a better discussion, even if you feel defensive.
Yes. Even you can say that. So I'm letting her in. I'm just feeling defensive, and I'm really trying not to be. That's perfect. I mean, because that's just letting them in versus taking it out.
Yeah.
Then the fourth thing I talk about is own your own part. So after we both got to the top of Anger Mountain, and, you know, the scriptures say, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say we don't get angry, but in your anger, do not sin. And, you know, to let the devil get a foothold. So I need to come back, and we both need to look in the mirror versus point the finger. So how does a couple do, Bill, when they've, you know, it hasn't worked out great, and they're off to work or they're off to stuff, and they come back? Are they coming back with more ammunition and saying, you know, here's the 20 reasons why I'm right? Or are they mutually coming back with, you know, a strong sense of humility and confidence in Christ to say, yeah, for those words, I'm sorry. Or, you know, when I just shut you out for that half a day, I was just struggling, and that's on me. You know, that mutual mercy gives you a chance to know you're for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big deal. All right, we're talking to Todd Mulliken, and his website is toddmulliken, MULLIKEN.com. We're having a great discussion today about letting each other in versus taking things out on each other. And that's a way to be for each other versus what you are against when you're making and having difficult matters in your relationship. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484 is the number. You can call or text at that number. I'll give it again. 877-933-2484. You can also email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. So glad you're with me today. I've got Todd Mulliken in my studio. Todd Mulliken is a counselor. And we're talking about relationships and conflict and making sure that we're letting each other in versus taking things out on each other. That's a great way of looking at it. Let's let each other in and not take things out, not vent. So I've got a question from a listener, Todd, and this listener said, how do you react to irrational and sensationalized anxiety coming from your spouse?
Well, if it is anxiety, then it means their spouse is afraid. And in their vigilance of dealing with their fear, they're projecting it out. Okay, so if I'm on the receiving end, I still would like our listener to look at what she or he is experiencing there. So in letting their spouse in, instead of saying, you know, I think you have an anxiety disorder and go get help tomorrow, instead of leading out with that, which may eventually need to be what happens, they need to be able to say, Gal, when you're speaking like this, I don't know what to say, or I'm frightened, or I'm sad, or I feel hopeless. I don't know what to say because I'm at a loss for words. I'm just letting you in on that. I don't, you know, tell me what you're anxious about, honey. You know, so you're trying to let them in versus kind of tell them what they're doing. You know what I mean? So I always tell clients, you know, don't tell the other person what they're feeling, because we're very good at that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the five things you're feeling right now.
Yeah, that's going to make the person defensive right from the get-go.
That's not
right?
A good recipe. And I'm vulnerable to do it. We're all vulnerable to do it. So what I want to do is I need to own my own side of the street and what I'm experiencing. And in Christ, let that person. So I would advise the listener to just talk about what they are experiencing when their spouse is acting like that and what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm. If this person's feeling is that their spouse is reacting irrational and sensationalized, is it possible that the spouse is really trying to get his or her attention?
It's really hard to know. I mean, the truth could be many things, Bill. It could be that the person has a pattern of overreaction that is from past trauma. It could be the person's on the receiving end is very you know, they grew up hearing a tone that was intense, so now they think this. Or, you know, there are going to be moments when people are irrational. You know, we're going to have moments when we're not in our wise mind. You know, in therapy, a lot of times we call it our emotional mind versus our wise mind.
Mm-hmm.
And under stress, oftentimes, either if I'm avoiding or I'm addressing, I'm sometimes in my emotional mind versus getting to my wise mind. So if I'm So it could be a lot of things could be the truth there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to know.
Mm-hmm. So if men were to score big points tonight with their wife when they get home, what might be a nice way to say it? if you walked into the door and said, instead of saying, hey, honey, how was your day? Mm-hmm. Might you say, I would really love for you to let me in to your day and hear about what your thoughts and feelings were throughout your day. Would that be a big score?
Yeah, first of all, I'd try to figure out what my pattern is. Am I the guy that comes home and talks all the time and my wife's just kind of, you know, nodding and falling asleep? Or am I the guy that really hasn't said much the last 25 years when I come home? You know, so what's mm-hmm. my pattern? Have mm-hmm. God speak to me about what's the dance, right? What's the pattern? So if I'm more apt to be that kind of that nice guy avoider type, I need to lead out with, on the way home, text her and then call her and say, I've had a great day at work. I'm looking forward to seeing you. How are you doing? Can we get a chance to chat tonight? I'd love to hear what's going on for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, again, in my book on how to bring out the best in each other, talk about the guy being on the pursuit, Bill. So he's pursuing his wife emotionally and spiritually. But on the other hand, if I'm a guy that's always doing all of the talking, mm-hmm. and my spouse is pretty quiet, then what I want to learn how to do is draw out my spouse. So say, hey, I can't wait to see you tonight. I'd love to hear what's going on for you. And just have there be silence and let their spouse kind of take a moment to figure that out. So I do talk about daily sharing of letting each other in.
Mm-hmm.
After the kids are down, whatever, it doesn't mean to be an hour and a half of it. It could be 5 minutes, and then we each do our own thing a little bit, but we're looking for each other.
Mm-hmm. Todd, how do you lovingly bring up the idea that, honey, maybe we are growing apart?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, in the spirit of what we're for growing together.
Okay? Right.
So I'm fearful we're growing apart. So what a lot of times happens if the person is thinking that is usually developing some blame about the things that their spouse has done to them. So, and that could be true. So, but again, what they want to do, in my opinion, is look at the fact, well, am I for just kind of continuing this apart thing, or am I for growing together or not? So if I'm for growing together, then I'm going to also say, I would love to get closer to you. What are some thoughts you have for this? Here's what I would love to do. I'd love to start seeing you every other Friday night, and I'll call a sitter, and because I really am for trying to become closer, and I'm kind of sad that we're growing apart versus kind of leading out with blame about that. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So it doesn't mean we're avoiding blame, Bill. It just means we're leading out with, how do we address a tough thing? Because we're both for growing together. Now, if we're not, if we're for growing apart, then we have another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do we talk about that well? And how do we create a time of pause in the marriage and let God do some work? And, so each case is different.
Mm-hmm. So what are some things that we can do? I always want to try to give people something in a brown paper bag to walk home with tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are wanting to change the paradigm a little bit, and you've done a great job, Todd, of explaining this, letting each other in and versus taking things out on each other. If we want to do this lovingly and not have it feel like a technique or manipulative in any way, how do you introduce this idea and have it feel real and organic and sincere?
Yeah, and I don't know if this will be helpful or not, but a lot of what we're talking about now is kind of how to handle things when things are tough, So we're a little bit more on the defense. I'm giving you kind of some defensive strategies, mm-hmm. right? So I think also it's good to have offensive strategies that we're practicing regularly. So I think the main offensive strategy for the man, in my opinion, is to come towards his wife, is to look for her, is to pursue her,
mm-hmm.
and to be thinking about her more, okay? So I think that's the man's main offensive strategy, is how am I thinking about my wife more and what's going on with her? Because I think our dilemma as men is we think more about, our work or other stuff. We just get defined by other things and we lose track of that. So how am I thinking about her more and then letting her know I'm thinking about her? So I think it's a good proactive thing. And then secondarily, from what we talked about tonight for men, I think get more comfortable with, instead of avoiding something delicate, say, I'm feeling kind of sad because it was a hard day at work, or I was frustrated with our parenting stuff last night, but how are you doing? I'm just trying to let you into what I'm experiencing. How are you feeling about it? Okay, so lead out well, but on the proactive side, be pursuing her, setting up dates, planning time to be together, notice her. For the woman, I think it's important. Most guys tell me they just want to know they're okay. Okay, because a lot of times they always, the guy that's engaged in marriage and it's quiet feels like they're always doing something wrong. So I work with the woman, and this sounds a little like, look at who he is versus who he isn't. Okay, Because most men feel like they're always doing something wrong. Now, sure, if there's big things going on that are wrong, adultery, addiction, abuse, mm-hmm. you know, things that are big deals, talk about that. We need to have surgery on that. That is not okay. But for the garden variety marriage, when you talk about proactive things, the woman bringing affirmation or looking at what she's for, the guys usually say that's very important for them. And then on the secondary thing about letting their guy in, just do that instead of telling their guy what he's feeling, because women will do that sometimes. They'll tell their husband what he's feeling and what he's doing. That automatically creates defensiveness.
Yeah, I was about to say, how does that not create defensiveness?
Instead, they need to let their spouse in to say, I'm just scared. I'm worried. I'm sad about what's going on right now with us. How are you? How do you see it? That's so much more interactive, Bill. And that gives the guy a better chance to step up and lean in and be mutually sharing with her about what he's going through. So I do, it's something in the last couple of years I've just been thinking a lot about, this phrase, let each other in versus take things out on each other.
Mm-hmm. I really love that idea, and I think it's going to really resonate with all of our listeners. It's a whole different approach because we feel beat up from the day, don't we?
We do.
There's lots of demands. I mean, I even look at the schedules that parents have today with their kids and the carpooling and the practices and the games and everything.
Yeah, and something in my book I talk about is these three tiers of time, Bill. So in our non-work time, how are we doing with having good marriage time, you know, with dates, with times together, with weekend getaways a couple times a year? You can go next door in a tent. You can go to Aruba. Who cares where you go? You know, just go so you have space and some time and plan it. So it's January. So one of the things we get to do is know that in April, when we're just on, you know, just overwhelmed because it's been dark and cloudy and whatever for 400 years, we have a nice little getaway coming. You know, we get to do that. So good marriage time. Secondly, good family time, where when the kids are young, we have some nice traditions. We have one-on-one time with our kids. So we divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
But also that third tier, Bill, is our own individual time. Hey, I got the kids. Go do your thing, honey. So I have people have these Sunday summits where they just let each other in on a Sunday night for 15 minutes, plan out their week, what's coming, when's our next date, when's our next getaway, what do you got going, what do I got going, and we try to, you know, I think there's three kinds of people in the world, people that make things happen in Jesus, people that let things happen, and people that say, what happened, you know? And
yeah,
so
right.
When we're in that season of life of busyness, I just want to invite people to plan well because they get to do that.
Yeah, and speaking of dates, you've got one tonight, don't
we
you?
We do.
We're
grabbing a dinner up in Maple Grove, and then we're doing one of our passions, which is going to a high school hockey camp. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's not like we're, you know, going to Kincaid's or anything, but we're...
Yeah.
But yeah, we are going to go to a nice restaurant, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we're going to go see a game. We both love high school hockey. I know it's kind of weird, but we're from Edina, so
yeah.
What are you going to do?
No, I think it's great. Todd Mullican has been my guest. If you want to go to Todd's website and learn more about Todd, you can do that by going to TODDMULLIKEN, toddmullican.com. I want to thank all of my guests today. I want to thank Jim Putman, who just did a fantastic job on his book, Hope for the Prodigal, bringing the lost, wandering, and rebellious home. And then I had O.S. Hawkins on as well. And he wrote a book called The Nehemiah Code. It's never too late for a new beginning. I think everything tied together pretty well today as we're trying to navigate our way through the new year and trying to find better ways to do things. Maybe things that we've done poorly in the past, and maybe this year as we're making resolve to do it better this year. So I want to thank all of my guests. And if you've missed any of the show, you can head over to myfaithradio.com, Afternoons with Bill Arnold show page, and you can find all the podcasts right there. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for being such great supporters of Faith Radio. As you lay your lovely head on the pillow tonight, just know that God is writing His story in your life. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.